Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Great to be back with you and welcome to Advance Your Wealth. Ryan Ruff, your moderator here. And as always, I'll be joined by Homer Smith, a private wealth advisor. And we're going to be getting into, of course, another wealth management related discussion as we typically do on the show. And today we're going to start out by asking you a question. And the question is, how confident are you about what will ultimately happen to your assets and your loved ones even after you're gone? I know that's a deep question, and it's one that not a lot of people really want to think about, but it's an important one, of course. So today, Homer and I decided that we wanted to take a look at a truly important topic surrounding this idea of your estate plan. And of course, the process to set that estate plan up so that it yields the results that you desire. And in particular, we're going to be focusing on three specific elements and components that reside within the estate planning process that can potentially be the most beneficial for some families out there. So before we get into the weeds of the conversation, let's go ahead and say hi to the man of the hour. Homer, good to see you today. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Ryan. Good to see you as always. And as always, I'm looking forward to the discussion today.
Yeah. This is a good one. You know, I mentioned a moment ago, it's one of those questions that's nobody really wants to think about, but boy, is it, it's so important to take the time to address it. But Homer, why don't you start from a high level here today? Why do you think that this topic does seem to generate just so much interest among investors and of course their families?
Yeah, I think there's two main reasons today why this is becoming such an important topic. I think the first one, is family in general. And what we typically work with are entrepreneurs and often first generation entrepreneur founders and wealth creators. And what I see in most of those families is the founder, the what drives them, why they want to create this wealth, when you ask them, is it's for their family. They want to create this wealth for their family. And so that's the main driver. The second one is we just happen to be, you know, as we're recording this, you know, less than 2 years out from a pretty significant change in the federal estate tax exemptions that are going to get, you know, cut from, you know, the low teens millions, so 13 and a half million or so per person today of estate tax exemption, to getting essentially cut in about half if nothing else changes between now and then. They just sunset. And so it's timely. So, you know, families that have significant wealth, have built significant wealth in real estate or their private business, this is a very important discussion that, you know, if you have a team of advisors that are being proactive, that they're talking with you about this right now. So I think those are the two reasons why this is such an important discussion today.
Sure. And then sure. There's the delicate component of this same discussion surrounding estate planning. What are your two cents on this? Just, you know, being that, yes, it is delicate. It's family. And we're talking about the planning for once you, maybe the patriarch or matriarch, are gone. What's your take on the delicacy of this this topic as a whole?
Yeah, it's interesting because while, you know, these first generation wealth creators and entrepreneurs in general, their primary priority is taking care of their families, they also are becoming more concerned about leaving too much to their kids, or at least leaving too much directly to their kids and the impact that might have on them. You know, what we have in terms of the conversations we have with the families we work with is, you know, how do you, you know, transition this wealth to your family in a way that's going to be positive and impactful and not destructive? And because, you know, if you have enough kids or grandkids, there's probably some challenges within those families, some that might have some unfortunate addictions, and giving them too much wealth could actually, and most likely will, make the problems they're dealing with even worse. And so what this really leads to, and what's important, is not just, you know, having a conversation at their own level, but really having to get to the level of each of their kids or grandkids and understand what is each of those families dealing with, to make sure that however we're designing the plan, that it really meets the need of not only them, but their families for potentially multiple generations to come.
Sure. And Homer, so you say that, you know, people really should be focusing on kind of three specific areas. I mean, hey, it's in the title of our episode here today, but let's start unpacking these three. You know, why don't you set the scene on this?
Yeah, pretty much all estate planning revolves around three key areas, which we're going to, you know, focus on today. And that's your basic will, your trusts, and then the fiduciaries that are involved with those different documents that you have. And so I think the first one that everybody is pretty familiar with, the basic foundation, is a will. And that's really the starting point for any well-conceived strategy around transferring your assets. And so, and really, whether you're a super simple estate situation or very complex, you know, starting with the will and making sure you have that part of your plan in place is really important. Because if you don't have a basic will, it probably also means you didn't do a trust and some of the other pieces. It means you're effectively letting the state that you live in decide for you what's best for your family. And I don't, most of the families I work with aren't really interested in the state making that decision for them.
Sure. So let's double click into this a little bit. Why would you say the will is such a foundational piece of an estate plan?
Yeah. So at the very basic level, there's a number of advantages and maybe some potential disadvantages of the will, but we'll start with the advantages. So at the end of the day, a well-constructed will is really going to line out, you know, how you're going to dispose of the hard-earned wealth that you created. So who are going to be the beneficiaries of your assets, how you want them to receive those assets. If you construct it well, you can design things in it, some trust structures that we'll talk about later as well, that could help you mitigate some of the estate taxes, you know, when it's part of a broader plan. And you get to specify the fiduciaries, which is really critically important that we'll get to later. I think some of the disadvantages and why it's a challenge for many people to even get to that stage is that you have to accept that you have to talk about that you're going to die at some point. And I think that's a really hard concept for some people to get around, is you really have to do kind of worst case planning, which is like, what if you died tomorrow? What happens? And a lot of people don't like to think about that. And then depending on how complex your situation is, the legal costs with estate planning in general can often be a barrier. Even if the benefits of completing that estate plan are significant to your family, you know, the cost up front could be at least something that could dissuade you from wanting to go forward with it at this point.
Of course. All right. Well, thanks for kind of laying that foundation in terms of the will there. But let's get into that second key area. You know, I know we're going to dive into trust. You mentioned it a moment ago. Let's unpack this. How can families be making smart work of trusts to help benefit their estate plan?
Yeah, and trust, the topic of a trust, we could spend probably 5 hours on alone, just because of how deep the types of trusts are out there and the complexity that you can get involved. But at a simple level, a trust is just a legal agreement to transfer assets into the trust through a trustee who would then be managing and dealing with the assets inside of there. And really the benefit, or one of the base things of a trust, is you get to outline all of the rules for the trust. So how things were to happen in the future. So a lot of control to do that. And they can be used in a number of ways. So if structured properly, can do a lot to help protect your assets as well. So that's kind of at the basic level. In terms of the types of trust, there's really two main types of trust. There's living trust, which a lot of people are familiar with, and testamentary trust. So living trust, another word for them is revocable trust, basically allows you to completely control the assets the way you are today. And they're still included in your estate. So doing a living trust or revocable trust does not remove assets from your estate, but it allows you to set up the rules for how the assets are disposed of down the road. And so it often can be a way to simplify for the person, for your family who will be receiving those assets. It's a way to simplify the structure and also can provide a lot more privacy for how the assets are disposed of as well. And you can establish, again, I mentioned you can do a living trust and testamentary trust. You can establish a living trust while you're alive. Testamentary trusts are established when you're dead and are typically in the form of irrevocable trust. But you can also set up irrevocable trusts while you're alive. So again, this can be a pretty confusing topic. The major advantage of irrevocable trusts are that the assets that are gifted into an irrevocable trust are then out of your estate and can be hugely impactful and beneficial from an estate tax avoidance standpoint in the future. The downside to irrevocable trust is there's very limited changes that you can make to an irrevocable trust versus a revocable trust. So revocable trust, based on how they're, you know, describe revocable, you can pretty much change everything related to a revocable trust while you're alive. Once you establish an irrevocable trust, again, it's very limited on what you can do with them. However, the benefits of them, again, are that you can avoid estate tax on the growth of those assets inside of that trust. And they provide significant asset protection. So for those families that are wanting to not only do good things for your family, but also protect your family from, you know, having a big target on their back and having assets unjustly taken from them, whether it's through lawsuits or future divorces, irrevocable trusts are really important parts of planning.
Good to know, Homer. And you had used this word of just a moment ago, and that's complex. Yes, trusts can be complex. So how can somebody decide whether or not they should consider them ultimately and go down this route for their estate plan?
Yeah. So when we incorporate trust planning, there's a couple of different levels of conversation that need to happen. So for revocable trust planning, one of the biggest issues is how complex and expensive is the probate process in your state. So if you live in California, particularly, it's a very expensive and potentially long drawn out and very public process to go through probate. And so if you only have a will, even if you've outlined everything in the will of where your assets are going to go, you have to go through probate. Having a revocable trust in place where you outline where all of your assets go, and as long as the assets were owned in the trust, can be a much simpler, lower cost process. So that's the conversation around a revocable trust or not, is often around just how difficult and expensive the probate process is. When it comes to irrevocable trust planning, that has a lot more considerations around it. I think one of the key ones that we focus on, or a couple of ones that we focus on, is first and foremost, how big is your estate? And if you have a reasonably sized estate, having assets either, you know, while you're alive or at your death through a testamentary trust go into an irrevocable trust for the benefit of your family can help avoid future estate taxes on those assets. So if structured correctly, those assets can pass down to multiple generations without incurring additional estate taxes at each generation, which is huge. And then another part of that, as we kind of described just a moment ago, is asset protection. So by structuring assets in an irrevocable trust for your future generations, it makes it very difficult for, you know, lawsuits, for fraud, for divorces to eat away at the family assets. Also, another reason why trust planning can be really important is if you're worried at all about the decision making of some of your kids or grandkids. And it, you know, this can sometimes be a challenge, and we're working with families as they're thinking not only at the further kids, their grandkids and great grandkids, and further down the road, is, you know, how much control do you want to have from the grave? But there's really good reasons that having some level of rules and control on a trust can be very valuable to avoid someone making major financial mistakes. Again, whether it's, you know, gambling, whether it's through a divorce, from assets leaving the family, you can provide some rules and structure in a trust that helps prevent those assets from being, you know, leaking out of the family. So those are some of the key reasons why it can get complex, but why having a trust conversation is really important.
Right. And if anything, I just took away from that, Homer, is there's most certainly not a one size fits all in terms of trusts. You know, every bit of this is extremely custom tailored to your family and their, obviously, the estate plan. Let's shift now, Homer, into that third key area we wanted to talk to about today, which is this idea of fiduciaries. What exactly does this entail? Why are we even talking about it?
Yeah. So a fiduciary is a person or an organization, trust company, that is ethically and legally bound to act in the best interest of another person, you know, whether they're overseeing their finances or healthcare decisions. So, you know, when it relates to your will, you will always name an executor to your will, and that person is responsible for organizing the estate, collecting on debts, or paying out on debts that you owe, and really, you know, handling all key issues related to your estate. So they're kind of at the center, the person organizing and managing everything. When you set up a trust, it's similar, but instead of an executor, it's a trustee that has a lot of those similar responsibilities. I think the major difference is with a trust, a lot of those rules and structure are already in place, where with a will, a lot of that often can be left a lot more open and can take up a lot more time for an executor. And depending on the type of estate you're in, you probably need both. You know, that, and oftentimes they can be the same people. The same person you would name as the trustee of your trust might also be the same person that you name for your executor. So it's really important as you think through who that might be. And often if you're married, it's typically going to be your spouse first, but then there's going to need to be, whether it's, you know, a kid or two or other family members or someone outside of your family that's going to need to step in and make those critical decisions. You want to really think through who's going to be in the best position to do that well and be looking out for the best interest of your family.
Yeah.
The second layer to that is if you have young kids, if you have kids that are minors, it's really important to name guardians and think through two layers of this. The first one is, who do you trust most to raise your kids if you're not around, if it's something happened to both you and your spouse? And the second area is, who's going to be best at managing the money for your kids? And often it's two different people. And we do that, we recommend that for an important reason, is we don't want to create a conflict where the person you know, who's raising your kids also has access to all of the money, especially if there's significant wealth that is going to be managed there. And while we have, you know, beliefs that people have best intentions, when money gets involved, it can often change people quite a bit. And so if there's significant wealth, it creates incentives for people to abuse that wealth. So in a perfect world, you have two separate people, one who's raising your kids and one who is managing the wealth and providing the financial resources for that family to raise your kids. Sometimes it's the same, but oftentimes we recommend that it's different.
All right. Fantastic, Homer. Now, once somebody has these three areas addressed that we've mentioned today, are they all set? Is there anything else they need to be considering with their estate plan?
100%. And so what we find, even with extremely wealthy families who have really great professionals surrounding them, is that their estate plans get out of date very quickly, because things just change in their lives, whether it's tax laws, estate tax laws, or just issues in their family, their business. And so it's critical that they have a regular review of their estate plan. This is not a document that just sits on the shelf and gets ignored. But we find is that most of the time when we meet with families for the first time, it's been over 5 years since they've reviewed their estate plan, and there's been significant changes in their family along the way. So for us, it's really important that these documents are reviewed at the very least every couple of years. But really, it's anytime there's a significant change in your family, and that could happen, you know, more times than, you know, more than just even once a year. And it's important to review your documents to make sure that the outcomes that your documents are designed to achieve are still going to work out based on the changes that are going on in your life.
Perfect. Well, Homer, look, we really appreciate you, you know, jumping on here, diving into to this topic surrounding smart estate planning, these three key areas. If anybody out there is, you know, thinking to themselves, oh man, I could take another look at my estate plan, or maybe I should be revisiting it, like you mentioned a moment ago, and they could, you know, appreciate or benefit from bending your ear or your team's ear, what would be the best way somebody could open up a dialogue with you guys and find you online?
I think the best way is obviously to reach out and send us an email if you'd like to have us have a conversation around this and review this and why this. I'll give you an example of why this is so important. And so we work with an extremely wealthy family. And we were reviewing their, you know, as we first met them, we always, you know, grab all of their documents and review them. As we were reading through their trust documents, we recognized that the way they designed for, they have a six-year-old kid, is that their six-year-old kid at the age of 12 would receive $200 million from the trust. And what happens in this scenario was that the estate attorney transposed the two and the one. It was meant to be 21, not 12. So the first question is, number one, would you want a 12-year-old receiving $250 million? The answer definitely was no. But even then, as we went in deeper and asked the family, like, do you really believe at 21 that your kid is going to be in a really good position to make good financial decisions if they just outright receive $250 million? And, you know, the way we talked about it with them, and they even agreed, is it probably better that the 12-year-old gets the $250 million than a 21-year-old, because at least at 12, they're probably just buying PlayStations for all their friends, versus at 21, you know, they're going to be in a position to do a lot more damage if they're not in a great position to make good decisions. So what it led to is just redoing the entire document and changing the nature of how their kid was going to receive access to the funds, but with a lot more rules and better decision-making built in. And I use that as an example. It's obviously a big one. There's significant assets at stake there, but the same implications are there, even if it's just a couple few million dollars, depending on who is receiving those funds. And they had really good attorneys that drew up their documents. It just, that number was missed. And so it can be pretty significant what we find when we do these reviews. So the second opinion is critically important. Yeah. And so if you'd like us to have that process, definitely reach out, email us, and we'd be happy to set up a call to do that.
Fantastic. Appreciate you sharing that story as well. It really does illustrate the importance of estate planning. Homer, thanks again for spending some time today with me, and I'll see you back here on the next one.
All right. Sounds good, Ryan. Appreciate it.
All right. Fantastic, Homer. Well, thanks again, ladies and gentlemen, for stopping by and being with us on the show today. If you enjoyed today's discussion, you learned something, well, make sure you subscribe to the show on whichever platform that you watched or listened to us on today. That way you never miss out on great conversations where Homer and I unpack these different wealth management discussions so that you and yours can come out better for it on the other side. Before Homer, I'm Ryan. We're going to go ahead and say so long today, but we appreciate you stopping by and being with us on Advance Your Wealth.
All opinions expressed by Homer Smith are solely Smith's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Integrated Wealth Concepts, LLC, Integrated, or its parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by Smith on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Smith as a specific inducement to make particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. Smith's opinions are based on information he considers reliable, but neither Integrated nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. Smith, Integrated, its affiliates and or subsidiaries are not under any obligation to update or correct any information provided. Smith's statements and opinions are subject to change without notice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Neither Smith nor Integrated guarantees any specific outcome or profit. You should be aware of the real risk of loss in following any strategy or investment discussed by Smith or anyone else. Strategies or investments discussed may fluctuate in price or value. Investors may get back less than invested. Investments or strategies mentioned on this website or in the show may not be suitable for you. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. You must make an independent decision regarding investments or strategies mentioned by Smith. Before acting on information you hear, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor. Investment advice offered through Integrated Financial Partners, a registered investment advisor. Integrated Financial Partners provides investment advisory services through several doing business as names. The information in this material is for general information only and is not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Integrated Financial Partners does not provide legal, tax, mortgage advice, or services.